You need to work on silencing male voices because you give plenty of them a mic and here they go.
Welcome back, y'all, to Off the Dome Pod. I'm Bobby.
I'm Dago.
And we have a special guest this week. Would you introduce yourself?
I'm Eden. Hello.
Where are you from? What school you go to?
I am from Silver Spring, Maryland, and I go to Syracuse University in New York.
That's crazy, bro. How was your week?
It was good, man. It was a good week, you know. A lot of exams and stuff, but, you know, made it out.
Yeah, same, bro. This week has been, like, kind of heavy. I've been looking forward to this, bro. Y'all don't understand.
We hold everything until
every Saturday. We hold in every conversation, every thought just to talk.
Yeah, we don't really talk anymore like that either.
Hold up, we forgot to introduce Aman.
Introduce.
The voice that y'all can't see.
I'm here, though.
Y'all know what he looks like.
Y'all already know us. Yeah.
He's like 5'5", I think.
Say, all right. I don't say much. Yeah, y'all, they already know me.
Sorry.
So let's just get straight into it. You have the questions for...
I got the question, but I just want to... We can get straight into it.
We have questions for our guest.
Eden. So as a warm-up, we're just going to ask you the question that we asked ourselves and Sammy last week. Is do you have any like just growing up Habesha, you know, how was life like
in a woman, like a girl's perspective? Because last week it was us guys,
four guys.
How was it as like a girl, or like, you know, like growing up?
Obviously it has its perks, you know. The culture is really fun. The thing that we have most in common is just like how close our family is. I think that's just a thing with a lot of Ethiopians, is like they really go deep into that, like, blood is thicker than water type stuff. But as a girl, it was really hard because they're also just like that whole, especially being like the eldest daughter, and like there's just so many things riding on you, and also just being like a first immigrant, first generation immigrant, you know, you have to try really hard to get into college, and then on top of that, you have to interact with your family members, you have to do all the stereotypical girl things, like helping your mom with the dishes and food, and like, man, and then on top of that, they're just, you know, everyone's extremely overprotective, so you don't really get to have as much fun as like your other male relatives. I had a pretty strict upbringing growing up. I didn't really get my freedom until I was...
Is there any like stories you remember? Like any, like, it could be funny, could be
favorite.
Yeah, favorite stories.
Favorite childhood story.
My favorite childhood story.
Growing up in your household.
Maybe like my not like childhood, but back in 2016, my uncle in Ethiopia was getting married, and so everyone on my dad's side, who's in America, all traveled to Ethiopia for the summer to celebrate with him. That was really fun, like having the American relatives and then the our Ethiopian, or like our relatives in Ethiopia, like come together and celebrate. People who haven't seen each other in years or decades were just like celebrating.
Really be like that too.
It's like my dad hadn't seen like some of his relatives. That was the first time he actually went to Ethiopia since he
been here, like
since he went to ask my grandpa for my mom's hand in marriage. So like
one day.
It's been like 20 years though. So that was just really fun.
Were you born here?
Yes.
How was that going back? Was that your first time going back?
I've been there like three times. Luckily for me, even though it's really hard for me to speak Amharic, like I could understand it fully. My little brother doesn't really have that, since, you know, I don't know. He just doesn't understand as much as I do. I guess maybe because I was raised by my parents, and my brother kind of just looked up to me, and I just spoke English.
How is it like speaking like the language from like when you're trying? Because like that's something we were talking about last week, and then like
really hard.
I know
it's
like
really hard, especially since the language itself doesn't use like English letters. Like they have their own characters, their own language. You know, it's really difficult to get on the
top.
Did
you ever get like kind of like turned down by your parents, or like made fun of, but like when you were trying to speak, they were like, "What are you saying?"
Like, not my parents, but like other relatives, they just be like, you know, like the typical, like, oh, you're French, you know, like you were born in America, like why don't you try to do that? It's nothing like actually deep, but I think that also affected on how much or how little I spoke it, you know, because I'd be embarrassed.
Yeah, that's something we talked about, because like growing up here, like when they go back, like children that were like, you know, growing up here, when they go back like to back home and they try to speak the language, like they understand the culture in some aspect, but like speaking the language is very hard for them. Mm-hmm. So they kind of feel like neglected. That's why some of them like don't want to go back home, like because they know how it is, because like they feel like left out, because like even everyone's speaking Amarna, and just like you don't know, like even if they do know what they're saying, like they can't talk back and communicate with them. So it's like this barrier between, you know, them growing up here and then, you know, that's crazy though.
I was gonna also say, you said you went to Syracuse, right? Mm-hmm. And it was like it's a well-known, predominantly white institution, and clearly you're not white. But I was gonna say, no, like how was that? How was that? Like, because Silver Spring is, you grew up with, like, you know, the culture and the people you're around with. What high school did you go to?
I went to John F. Kennedy High School.
And like, I don't know,
it's a mixture,
right? And how was that transition, and like any memories, any experiences from there that you think was, you know, that stood out?
Like you said, growing up, the culture I was around was just like predominantly black and Hispanic, you know. There wasn't really that many white people I grew up around, so going to college was like a huge culture shock, especially Syracuse. You know, they try to like reel you in with like all the brochures and tell you like, we're extremely diverse, you know, we're open to everybody and la-di-da-di-da. They even got like, they don't have one white person on their brochure. It's just like Asian, black, and Hispanic people. And I tell you, I barely see those types of people.
Terrible marketing.
It's terrible. And then when you go there, it's weird. Especially, there's not that many Ethiopian people there, so they don't really know what that is. Like, it's a mixture of just like, people being like, oh, like you're exotic looking, are you like mixed, or like where are you from, da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. Or they just won't try to befriend you at all because they have this, you know, they believe in the stigma, this just like, you know, all black people are like unfriendly, or they're just not gonna like them, or just any stereotype they could think of, you know. Like going into lectures, you'll be like the only one sitting alone, while like white people who don't even know each other will like sit right next to someone they have no idea who it is. Because, you know, I guess it's easier to just like sit next to know someone who you have something in common with, even though it's just skin color. But
did you ever connect with the Ethiopians, the small people that were there?
Oh, yeah, we got like a group chat, like 25, 30 of us.
Ooh,
that go there.
That's not bad.
That's actually plenty of people, you know?
It's got smaller and smaller. Definitely the class of 2020, like my freshman year, they had a lot of people, then kind of just dwindled.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. I mean, we talk.
I'm actually learning about this in class. Have you did like, it's called code switching?
Mm-hmm. I've done that my entire life.
Never mind.
Because
that boy just learned that today.
We watched a TED talk. She was saying like code switching isn't bad. It's just basically showing a different side of yourself to different people. So it's like a skill.
Yeah.
Did you do a lot of that in PWI?
I did that in high school, like to get internships, like to get into programs and stuff. Just to, like, even though I went to predominantly black and white schools like before college, all our teachers were white, so they're gonna pick and choose which students they like depending on like how they speak, how they talk to them, just things like that. And I'm not gonna lie, it definitely works a lot better than like acting like yourself.
What do you say, like, is it a bad thing? So what I mean is, like, there are a lot of people that would say like we shouldn't have to do that, you know what I mean? And the other point of view is like we live like in the worst of world, like the black population is like 14-15%. You know, it's kind of not a choice, like, you know what I mean? So like, what's your perspective on that, all you guys in general?
Yes,
does it bother you? It was basically,
no, I agree with you, it definitely should not be a thing. I would love to live in like a utopia where like we don't really have to code switch and we could just act like our true selves and not like speak in an articulate manner and blah blah blah, but we don't live in utopia, and I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. If it's going to get us to a place that we deserve to be, I mean, just use it. If you're good at code switching, go ahead. Just don't make it like your personality. I mean,
for me, it's like, I don't think it's a bad thing at all, because like when people say act yourself, I know, like, how when we all act, it's kind of like there's some things I wouldn't say in front of other people because I know. Yeah. So I don't think it's a bad thing. It's just being wise and aware of like who you're around, and because there's some people who might get hurt by what you're saying. Because I know me, you, and dog, even Eden. Like, if I say something around you, I wouldn't take it no way. But
some we know you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, but you know who does like code switching so like perfectly? Mm. Ethiopian parents.
Let's get back. I said what I said. Y'all can't stay away from this topic, can you?
Nah, it's funny to me, but personally to me, like, I don't really mind it, but it's like depend on like where or like the situation I'm in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because then I have to like, I don't want to say play this role, but like it's like I have to like put myself in a situation or in a situation where like I have to act differently to like not impress people, but like try to see, like, you know what I mean? Like, so I won't like stand on, like, I mean, I'm okay with that. I make friends with the people I can talk to, but like, yeah, I don't really mind them. Yeah. Like I said, it shouldn't
wait
be,
I guess the question I have is like when people say act different, and like, let's say if I'm normally like, what's that called, like kind of immature, and like when I'm around people of power I act more mature, is that necessarily a bad thing? Is like, what if I take that trait and put it apart, like make him a part of me, and like that becomes me, you get what I'm saying?
So I'm trying to get a badge over here.
Like, that's what I always be thinking when people say I want to act like myself. Like, what if yourself isn't that good?
improve your characteristics.
Like, you gotta upgrade, my guy.
No, it's more like okay, if a white person had that same sort of personality, they're not gonna think anything of it. They're just gonna be like, oh, that's so cute. They're like their inner child. But if it's like a black person, they're gonna be like, wow, like you're super undertrained. Like, what type of house did you come from? Like, they're just gonna assume the worst out of you instead of like giving you the benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely. And you think like that's like implied? They wouldn't like.
It's implied. It definitely is. They're just gonna be like, where did you come from? Like,
yeah. You know? Do y'all watch Sorry to Bother You?
What is that?
No.
This is like a movie based like on this, and this guy basically working. The movie is an overall is a weird movie.
Is it with Lake Heath or something?
What? I don't know the guy's name. He's a guy.
Lake Heath Stanfield, the guy from Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah. It's a guy from Atlanta. Yeah. He works at a call center, and he's struggling to get these calls. And this older guy, like, you know, you gotta use your inner voice. He's like, what are you talking about? And then he starts talking, you know, as a white person, and then boom, you know, he whatever. But all I was gonna say is, I think what to your answer, how when people say don't be yourself, I think it's like don't change your core values.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
I think that's what. Or sometimes though, some people, yes, don't be yourself.
That's like, what I'm saying. If you're really immature, you better get fired. You better be on the street, homeless.
Yeah. That's for your own good. To some people, I would say that, but I think in general, when people say like don't, it's like don't change your core values.
Yeah. That makes sense because core values are actually really important. Like, yeah,
they'll carry you.
But when it comes to like who you are, you also have to like take the time to like make yourself, not like make yourself, but like mature, you know what I mean? Like, there's certain characteristics that you have to develop, and then don't, like the ones that don't come naturally, right? For example, like if you get like uncomfortable talking to certain people, right? Like, get out your comfort zone to be like, okay, one day, like today I'm gonna try my best to talk to someone new, or like make a new friend, or even like even in public settings, you know what I mean? Like, that's how you adopt and put yourself in a situation where you have to talk to people like you don't know, for you to like, you know, to not mature, but like, you know, to develop that characteristics within yourself. There's some people that are shy and like extroverts or introverts, whichever one it is.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
I totally feel you.
Actually, yeah. Do you think like a person who's actually like an introvert, is it? Do you think they can like change to be extrovert, like by like practice or something? Like,
yo, bro, that's a hard question.
No, because I actually really want to think about it. Like, what if somebody does, like, they don't want to be introvert? Because there's some people who accept it, like, oh, I love being introvert, I hate people.
Yeah.
But then there's some people like, I wish I could talk to people, but it's just not in me.
I had a teacher that was like a crazy introvert, very introvert. Like, I mean, it got to a point I was like his TA type of stuff, right? Even when we borrowed stuff, he wouldn't talk to me. It was kind of scary, right? And then like one day, he was talking about some kind of aluminum, something very weird, but he was talking, bro.
Yeah.
And then I was like, and then I realized like the only time he really talks is when he's like interested in something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He likes, yeah.
Yeah, and he does it subconsciously. You know what I mean? So I realized, I don't think, I'm not a psychologist, man. I can't answer that, but from one experience I would say is, it's only if they are really interested in it and they do it subconsciously. I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because I see a lot of people who like, when they're around people they don't know, it's like they're silent. But as soon as you get comfortable to them, they start like saying things like,
they won't stop talking.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like,
they won't stop talking.
I'm like, bro, this is not you. It's not you.
I mean, like I said, it's just one of those things where like you have to get out of your comfort zone. Like, to some people it might be challenging, you know, it's like extremely baby steps, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, if you don't put in the effort to get out of your comfort zone and to go and try whatever it is that you want to work on, right, then there's no use, like, unless you actually put in the effort.
I feel you.
You can't, like, come out the cup and be like, I'm going to make friends today. They can't do it. Yeah.
Okay. Yo, I actually, I apologize. Faven, like, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Faven, she's in the motherland right now. A couple of weeks ago,
she's a dust and spirit.
She asked...
Well, hello.
What is it? Is it the phone? What is going on?
I think it's my phone. That's crazy.
I think it's the phone.
Yeah, put it away.
Yeah. Faven gave us a great topic, and I forgot to bring it up, but I think this is a perfect opportunity to ask this question.
Perfect. Go ahead.
First, I'm going to ask it to Eden. Okay?
Go ahead.
But the question is going to apply to you guys. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
It is, how do you feel about, like, in the future, or just in general, what do you think about the woman proposing to a man?
Oh, thank you, Faven.
Thank you. That is...
She'll probably see us 8 hours later, but thank you.
She's sleeping right now. But yeah, in general, off the dome.
Oh my God.
Don't, like, think about it.
Look, I'm all for, you know, women getting their rights, having to not succumb to, like, equality. Just the...
Equal rights, equal fights.
You know, succumb to, like, the status quo of just, like, three man, because I said, but no way, over my dead body would I propose to, like, over my dead body.
What did I tell you? Did I not tell you she'll say that? Did I not tell you?
Did I not tell
you? Hold up. I actually want to ask you, why, particularly for you, would you say that?
I don't know. I think just, like,
if you say women are the price, stop it.
Also true, but, like, I don't know. Like, most girls, when women who are, like, with men in relationships, like, they would rather, you know, be wooed, you know, get flowers, be appreciated, because a lot of the times, you know, the guy just gets comfortable, you know. They don't really keep trying at, like, once they realize they're, like, this girl actually wants to be with them, they just stop trying, stop giving them flowers, stop appreciating them and stuff. And also, I don't know what you were talking about earlier, but women are the prize. Like, because if we do decide to have a child, we have to go through childbirth. And that is so, like...
We talked about this millions of times.
I'm not arguing.
No, before that, I would say is this a view you hold just for yourself? Or do you think, like, women in general should have, like, you know what I mean?
Of course, it's just for myself. Person. If someone, hey.
There's some women I've
it's
seen.
Not, like, I wouldn't want to do it personally, but I'm not about to say that women shouldn't propose to the man.
So do you think it's, like, in your nature to want to feel like you are, not the prize, but, like, the man should pursue you? Or do you think it's just, like, I'm just me? Or do you think women, think, like, naturally are just that way?
Women in relationships with men, yeah, I feel like, of course.
Because some people be saying, no, we just learned this. A woman could just go out there and, you know, like, all types of stuff. So I just want to make that.
I just feel like, you know, as society progresses, like, everyone wants to talk about, like, even, like, feminism comes into the conversation and people are like, oh, like, if you want us to be equal, then you should try as much as the guy and blase, blase. But, like, I don't know, you see, even in the relationships with our parents and just other people in the older generations, that the guy doesn't really try that much. Like, the woman is, like, succumbs to being a housewife, or they're just not appreciated at all. Yeah, you know.
She's speaking facts.
I'm not gonna lie to you.
Y'all turn. Question. Go ahead. You two. How y'all
feel? I would not want my, woman that I'm seeing. Just
super frozen.
Nah,
I would feel so awkward to me. It's like, I would tell her, get up.
You would walk away. You would say no.
No, I want to, like, bro, in public, I'd be like, okay, let's redo this again. Redo. Ain't no way in public I'm going to let a girl, like, get on her knees.
Well, what are you going to do? Like, what's going to be your reaction?
I'm gonna pick her up. I'm like, okay, let's walk away. Before they remember us, let's turn away before they remember us, and we could come back later.
So you won't say no, but you won't say, like,
I'll say no.
It depends.
I'm private. I'll talk to her about it.
If she knew that I was about to marry her and she did that before me, I would get really mad at her. I don't know why.
Okay. No, listen. There's like I read this thing. It was like, women when it comes to this topic, it's like women are like, no, men are taught how to treat women, right? But like women are taught like to receive things from men. Like they're not taught how to. I said what I said. Women are not taught fully like how to treat a man. Like you know what I mean? Like at a young age, yeah, they're taught like.
Are you talking about society or like?
No, what are you talking about? Because that's not true. That's not true.
Let me finish.
Repeat that. Huh? You said men are not. What?
Oh, I'm gonna get in hot water for this.
Hey,
go back. You know, nah. You know, I'm not gonna add on.
I think the question: are you talking about like in like as a society, or are you talking about like individual?
I'm not gonna add on that.
No. Let's talk about it.
I'm gonna ask another question.
No, my question is.
No. Are you gonna bring this conversation up again?
No. We're gonna finish this right now. Let's keep.
No, we're gonna finish
this right now.
Look.
You were confident enough to bring it up, so we're gonna finish.
No, this is gonna be a rule. Any conversation like this, like controversial, let's just keep it short and concise.
This is short.
Yes. I'll give you a minute.
I'll keep it short. I'll keep my answer short too.
Dagi, I'll give you 1 minute right now. I'll say it for you, okay? Basically, I think what he's trying to say, without being rude, is, like, as a society, right? There's a message, the societal message or pressure to for a man to learn how to treat a woman, right?
That's right.
But some people might feel like the society does not push that same kind of pressure to a woman to learn how to treat men.
Because look, this is how I see it. It's like, let's just talk about simple terms. In a relationship, if the woman is feeling some type of way, like sad, it's like they put this message saying like if like one person is feeling bad, or if it's the woman, the whole relationship, like, it revolves around how she's feeling. Mm. When the man is feeling some type of way, it's like, okay, just leave him alone, let him come back. But it's like, I don't see that push for, like, people trying to help the man out, like, what he's going through, what his emotions. That's it's like, I mean. Basically just, you know, suck it up. But if the woman is feeling bad, it's like, they come to the man, what did you do wrong? Were you cheating on her? Like, what?
Yeah. Either. Like, you can't even, like...
the question is for her.
I just...
Sorry, that
I'm going to just keep it straight. I'm not going to be mad. I'm just going to state it. Because I understand you guys wouldn't even...
understand.
You wouldn't get it. But
no, sorry.
From no, it's fine. I'm not being just because you're not gross, so you
okay,
wouldn't.
Okay, no, that makes sense.
Anyways, literally from birth, like we're told how we're supposed to, like our entire upbringing is how we're supposed to treat men, like how we're gonna get
a wife,
how to be a good wife, how are we supposed to be a good mother,
I agree with
like,
you on
and
that.
Then the way. What you guys are talking about, whereas like in a relationship, like the guy's supposed, if the girl's mad, like the guy has to like tend to her, but then if he's mad, whatever, that's also men's fault because they put that stigma on themselves that they're supposed to be strong, they're supposed to have no feelings, they're not supposed to do anything, they like, shouldn't have no feelings, everything, if they do anything of that sort, then it's considered feminine, and that's not on us because we never really had that power to like make an opinion like that, and no one's gonna pay attention to it. And as for women, like, even you should know, even in Habesha families, like, even my, like, aunts, even my mom has talked about, like, what you should do. Like, if I even mention working out or something, she's like, don't work out too much. You might get muscles. Like okay.
Is that more cultural? Like,
it's not only a cultural thing. It's, like, a worldly thing. But it's, I guess.
Because some moms actually tell their daughters, like. You know, be this pretty girl, do this, because all the guys are going to get you. Cause
that's what it is. A lot of moms, I'm just saying, because we would understand more being in a Habesha upbringing, you know? Even in school, they just tell you to, like, wear longer skirts. Don't be promiscuous. Don't show too much. Even if you're, like, wearing, like, a shoulder, just, like, a shirt that shows your shoulders or something, because you won't seem, like, guys won't want you. They might think that they'll just... think that like you're out to get everybody, that you're a flirt, that you're whatever, and you're supposed to be some submissive, like you're just supposed to be submissive, you're supposed to cover up everything, be very modest, don't speak too much, don't have too much of an opinion, don't be too smart, don't be too dumb, like literally it's like so much is put on us, like stay beautiful. When you give birth, you're supposed to lose all of that weight so you could still be appreciated by your husband and people won't think that you just lost your beauty. Like, it's literally so much.
Shout out to Sam though. I was saying your name. But this is exactly, camera? No, this is what I meant. He said, a man is taught how to treat a woman but doesn't know what to expect from a woman. A woman is taught what to expect from a man but not to treat a woman. I mean, not to treat a man.
What do you think about that?
again, is that a valid statement? Not really. No, it's valid, but it's just, I don't know what you want me to say about it, because again, like, literally the entire world is run by the patriarchy. You guys put this on yourself. Not you guys specifically, but like, you men. Guys, men, just yeah. men overall, they want to be perceived as strong and straight. And I don't understand why they're blaming women when we've never really, like I said, no one really has listened to our opinion like that or cared enough to actually change. You guys just want to be seen as strong and masculine and straight. And
I got a question. All of that stuff, yeah. So I want to hear your opinion. Yeah. Would you want a man that is not strong, that shows his emotions a lot? Not obviously, there's emotions to a certain degree, right? But someone, a man that is not strong, so he's like flimsy, weak, and he doesn't show emotional. And obviously, you will want to. I expect him to be straight. I expect you want to be straight, but you know what I mean. So I want to hear your opinion.
I mean, what do you mean?
Yeah, but I'm talking about. Like, I'm talking. No, okay. So, but you know how you say like.
Hey, don't say that word. We're gonna get canceled.
Yeah, don't. What I'm saying is because I think to a certain degree, I will agree with you that, you know, men have this pressure, or we put on ourselves, right? I also agree that women also put some pressure on it, but that's a different topic. What I'm saying, like, you personally, right? Would you think you would want a man that is not strong, that is emotional? Subconsciously or consciously? Think about it.
Before you answer that, can I add this too, real quick? Also, what he's saying is like, because women say this, they say men always say nobody cares about them, all that. But the reason we say that is because most of the time, when a man explains his emotions, pours out what he's feeling, it's used against someone, or the woman starts feeling like distant. She's like,
subconsciously.
Y'all can say however y'all want, we love you, we care about you, but something inside y'all changes when a man is like, he's not like looked at as the rock anymore. He's looked at, dang, this man, he's kind of weak. Yeah. He's kind of like, he's not good.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want. Talk you to him. Like, what do you think about that?
You're just kind of generalizing. If that woman's like that, then she's just not the right one. Those are just not great. Okay. I'm not for all women. Some women are dumb. Like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not just going to like every single person just because they're a woman.
Okay.
Then for what Aman said, personally, I've experienced being with someone who doesn't express their emotions that well. And that really sucks because you can't really read them. You don't really know what they're thinking. You don't even know if they like you or if they're just like tolerating you at a point. And it just really sucks, you know?
Okay.
About the strong thing, obviously I don't want them to be like weak as a twig or something, but like I don't really care if they aren't like, you know, if they have a six pack, if they're like super buff or whatever. I don't really, personally, I'm not, for I don't focus too much on physical features.
Wait. Consciously or subconsciously?
Both.
Okay, cool.
Wait, I have a question.
I don't know about other people.
Please don't somebody answer this man's question. No, he's been begging for like 2 weeks.
No. I have a question for all of y'all, but when, let's say that a man or a woman proposes, actually I'll say a man. If a man proposes to a woman, right? Mm-hmm. And she says no, what happens after that?
The relationship is over.
Walk away, what you mean?
We fight.
Don't you? I mean, usually in a healthy relationship, you guys aren't going to communicate on when you guys are ready for marriage. If you guys are stably, like financially stable, if you guys are in a place to live together and away from like roommates or by yourself or family, where whatever your situation is, you know, if some people just think that if they've been dating for a while and they just, you know, push out a proposal out of nowhere, then their significant other should be like, yes, I'd love to, but that's not really the case, you know?
I mean, also depends, why does she say no? Because, like, if she said no to a proposal, there's got to be some other issue going on. Like, I don't know, it's kind of like, I would be asking the guy, like, were you confident that she was going to say yes?
I was going to say, too, well, are you not supposed to have that conversation before the actual, like, event of the proposal, right?
Yeah, even if you do have that conversation.
No, not conversation, like...
Then break up. I mean, if you've talked about it and you guys have come to...
I missed where you started. You said you had two people that were proposed to?
I didn't know
at your school
all of them personally, but I witnessed one of them. Oh, my gosh. It was like my junior year of high school. Everyone gathered around during lunch in front of like the gym area. And this guy did this whole thing. And she was like...
She didn't know?
She didn't even say no. She just shook her head. Yeah, she's like...
He didn't tell her before?
I don't know them, but I don't think so. Stand because down, I didn't even think, you know, like down. When you know, like the school couples and things yeah. like that. Like, I don't know.
You could feel the secondhand embarrassment.
Yeah. No, no, I was just, like, let me go to my class. Like,
was there any prom photo that stood out to you guys from?
Bro, in our school,
we're not getting into that.
We went to a school. It's like the biggest, one of the biggest in our state.
Man, we're grown. Why are we talking about?
Yeah. Let's just move on. About relationships and stuff. That was
that's
we peaked late. Last week we asked about why do Habesha men get more slandered than Habesha women, and that was from our perspective. And now I kind of want to ask Eden the same thing, but from your perspective, why do you think so?
I never actually thought about it like in depth, but okay. So I do not personally, but just like what I've heard from other people, and I feel like you guys know that. Ethiopian women, Habesha women in general have this stereotype that most of them are beautiful. You know, their hair, their skin, like, they're just all gorgeous women.
And we ugly.
Look, and not even Habesha, just overall, no. East African women, they're all clustered together. You know, they have this thing. Most of it also stems from colorism and just, like, texturism. You know, they just think that. Most of them have like looser curls. They have lighter skin. Okay. You know, their features. No, but I'm saying that it's not only because of that. Because some people, it's not. They don't think of it for the right reasons. They think of it because of texturism and colorism or fetishizing. Let's say that. Okay. You know, they're just like the well, that too. But like fetishizing is just most of it.
Okay. What about Habesha guys?
Habesha guys. No. Habesha guys. East African guys in general, they also have this stereotype. You know, like
we know them. Don't worry.
Hey, beer belly, chicken beer legs. Okay,
they lose their hair by 30. You know, things. 30. A lot of
that's 30, plenty of time, bro.
Make it to 30, you're blessed.
Wait, I can save some. Keeps.com, bro. Y'all don't know about that.
Starting in their 20s,
they're driving taxis, you know, working 7-Eleven. This is
you know that part.
But that's just a family thing. I don't think that has to do with people why use people that, like, see East Africa. I don't know.
If I see like if I see an East African woman or in general bashing me for like having my hairline receding and stuff, I understand. But for working a job, that's just like, you're just a terrible person.
Yeah,
bro.
Money anyway.
I feel like that's immature. It's just immature.
Yeah,
that's
I just want to also speak on this, just from my experience, just getting older, going through puberty, just like maturing and stuff. There are a lot of people that are a little weird. I'd like to say maybe like, can I say FOB?
Say.
Okay,
it.
Like just the FOB, the general like FOB men, you know?
Why are you scared to say FOB?
I don't know if you're gonna censor something.
What's there to censor? Fresh off the boat,
bro.
Fresh off the boat.
But especially if you were if you grew up in this area, especially downtown Silver Spring, is
damn,
just
she's
like
the location.
Look.
Stop putting the desk, bro.
Get the coordinates, bro.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, caught on our
but,
track.
We're not there.
Hey,
but it's just like a lot of people are a lot of them are just very weird and approach just anyone they think is an eligible Habesha East African woman, and it's really uncomfortable, like extremely uncomfortable. Like, I don't know why they're going ahead talk, like even at 17, you know, like there are people who look like they're like 35, 40 years old and they still try to talk to me, and it's just it's a really uncomfortable thing. And I'm not even gonna lie, like even family, not here, but just like people I even haven't seen in like years, decades, just going back to Ethiopia, like they treat you very differently, like especially when you get older and stuff. It's a very uncomfortable feeling. And I think it just like, you know, I guess they just assume that you guys, not you guys specifically, but it's just like, it's very hard to find people who are in that circle attractive just because of past experiences. You don't really feel comfortable.
That's reasonable. I never heard of that.
She broke it down perfectly.
Okay, yeah, bro, thank you. I mean, like, I never felt attacked anyway. Let me just shut up.
I didn't feel attacked, but I understood the stereotype. I was like, when I see myself moving to, I'm like, damn, I just have to accept it. I know one day they about to go.
Yeah, at the end of the day, they always come back though, because you know they want an East African man to marry them. Well, some, not all, but some. Yeah, but
no, because.
Never mind.
It's a very hard topic. Keep it to yourself.
The second question was, do you have any experience growing up, like, cooking? It's like
no,
the general.
I'm going to say like this. Like, let me actually read it. I said, what's it like when Habesha parents cook and, you know, the aroma it gives off? Because I know for me, it's like, in like Habesha like culture, onions are the number one strongest thing. And the stench that onions leave off, I tell you, you could close the door, put some clothes underneath the door, yeah, open the windows, and by the time you get to your friend's car, you're like, damn, bro, you smell like onions. Mm, so like, how was it like growing up like that? Like, did y'all have any moments, something like that?
Me personally, I don't think I've ever had to like experience it. My mom would usually like cook outside. We've always had like a balcony type thing. No. But sometimes it would. Sometimes there'd be like a little stench and stuff. And man, I'm telling you, like, especially in middle school, kids are ruthless. Like, they are crazy. Yeah, ruthless. In middle school, it was really popular to hate African kids. Like, it was really popular to just be harsh. Who are your parents? It was a trend. Damn. Especially even other Africans. I'm like, aren't we all in the same boat? Like, why are you
just Africans were attacking you?
Okay, that's different.
That's friendly fire, bro.
Not my friends and stuff, but just like, I mean, you're kids. I understand that, like, we're just going to say anything. But at that time, it's just really weird seeing that happened for so long, and then when you get older, like in high school and like college, just in today's time, it's like popular to be African or like of African descent and stuff. Like, now it's the cool thing, like, ooh, you're, you know, like, you're exotic, you're ethnic, you know, like, you have culture, things like that. Mm-hmm. But in middle school, if you came, like, even my other friends, if you came to school so like that, they would go on you for not even that day, the entire week. They'll bring up things that happened 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, damn, like, I can't control when my mom wants to cook, like, you know?
Let me just say this, okay? What you say at the end is facts, because I'm not going to lie to you. I used to get, like, called fobs by other Ethiopians more than I was called a fob by other people, right? Before it became a trend. Mm. Now, the people that used to call me fobs are like, I hear Ethiopia Hagare. Like, bro, you don't know how to speak the language, bro. Like, I mean, okay, I don't have a problem you repping the country, but like, never mind.
No, I'm not wrong. There's a difference between Ethiopian Americans and then Ethiopians in general. Anyone who was born or like raised in this country, they would do anything to separate themselves from the country itself just to seem more American, more...
Talking about me?
No. Bobby's a...
I wasn't saying names, but I mean, if you think it's you...
That's my past life.
Mm-hmm. We talked about this,
right? I've seen the light. I've seen the light. I'm back now.
Nah, yeah. I feel you. And...
Okay. Turn off.
Thank you so much, Eden. This was very, very... It was a nice conversation. Bro, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
You broke it down perfectly. Yeah.
I tried.
Opened our eyes. For joining
us, you know? Thank you.
We really appreciate it.
We'll see y'all on another episode on Off the Dome.